What's going on, guys? Your boy Elroy here, and welcome back to the Your Boy Elroy MMA Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Prepigina, and I'm here with my good buddy, Andre Rodriguez. Andre, what's going on, man?
What's going on, Prep?
Oh, man, I feel great. It's a big week. I am very excited for a lot of things going on. But one thing I'm particularly excited for, Andre, peep this. Look at this thing.
I can't. I don't think your camera's on.
Oh, so this is actually.
Oh! That is sick, dude.
For those, obviously, we don't do video. This is audio only. But Andre's reaction was to me finally receiving one of UFC Wave 1 from Jazzwares. So, Andre, here's the story. I walk into Walmart, right? Because I did not pre-order these. Once I saw that they were going to go to retail, I was like, you know what? I'm going to take my chances hitting the store. So I walk into Walmart, Andre. There are three UFC figures on the shelf. One being Daniel Cormier. Another one being Max Holloway. But the box was trash. And I am a collector who needs like a very clean box, so I passed on him. And another one was none other than John Jones. Andre, I left that son of a gun, John Jones, grabbed DC and walked out of the store. So I love it. It's beautiful. I don't know if I open this package, if this belt is going to fit DC. but it is a cool touch to have the belt. There's two different heads. The box is great. The thing about these is these are definitely staying in a box for me because they're not in scale. This first series is 6 inches, and everything else is going to be 7 or 7.5. So I'm going to leave the series one in the box, and I will continue to grow my collection of UFC figures as they come out. But, Andre, they look great.
Yeah, man, they do. Great detail. It's cool that they had, like, the face change, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can really, in the other smiling face, you could really see Carl Winslow in DC's face.
Yeah.
So, Andre, let's take that into someone who actually returned to the media this week, Daniel Cormier himself. Obviously, we know what happened in the fight, Andre. Did you get a chance to listen to him react to the fight?
Yeah, I did.
How do you think he came off? Because I think he came off like a true professional, as he really is. What were your thoughts on it? I thought it was very well spoken, everything that he said.
Yeah, no, I'm in agreement with you. I thought that, you know, you can tell when somebody is a champion at heart. And, you know, even though Cormier had the belts, he carries himself like a champion through victory and defeat. And I thought that it was great for him to just kind of assess what happened. And even though the eye poke did play a big factor, he still gave credit to Stipe where credit was due. And, he handled it really well. You know, a lot of other people would have probably just rode on that, you know, dead horse. And he's like, oh, no, the eye poke changed everything. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was a close fight. And it was a legendary fight for both guys. They really showed their mettle, and they really showed what they were made of. So, yeah, I think he hit the nail on the head, you know. And I think it's great to kind of see where his career kind of ended. Because he's done everything in the sport. And, you know, he's the only one in the UFC who's defended both belts in two divisions. So, can't really hang your head there.
Yeah, I think we've said it before. I will reiterate it again. Daniel Cormier has zero to prove to anybody. He will go down as one of the greats. And if you're not the greatest, hey, no big deal, bro. You're up there. There's a you know, for as long as you could be the greatest, you know, there's a generation waiting to surpass you anyway. So, DC, my hat's off to you. Everybody knows how I feel about DC. I'm grateful for things like this that I'll be able to hold on to a memory of DC with this 6-inch figure. Like, I am very happy for things like this because of that. That's why I became a collector, and I am grateful for Jazzwares to put out stuff like this for people like me. Andre, some very like heartwarming news coming out this week. So if you remember around the time of UFC 246, there was a viral, that was January 18th, McGregor versus Cerrone. That was the time where the viral video came out of the lady kind of like linebacking the dude, like blocking the dude like a lineman, like out of stealing the TV from Best Buy.
That was sick, man.
Yeah, and she ended up getting fired from that job. And the UFC extended an invitation. They brought her down to the card to watch the fight live. And that weekend, we heard that he had offered, the UFC had offered her a job as security. And we didn't, it was very quiet. We never heard anything after that. It finally comes out this week that she has joined the UFC for as a security guard, and she will be working for the UFC. She's already she's been working for 8 days, as she stated. She said it was the right decision. She loves working there so far, and it makes me really happy that someone like Dana White, with so much going on, can hold on to like a promise like that. Like, he told her, like, yo, I want to offer you a job. And, like, look at this. 8 months later, you know, we're finally getting the conclusion to that, and she has joined them in Las Vegas.
That is so awesome, man. And it's great to hear because, you know, a lot of people wouldn't have done that. We know that in retail stores, even security guards are told, like I've been told as a security guard, do not put your hands on people. There's no point. If people walk out, it's cool, just call the cops. But for her to go above and beyond like that speaks on her character, and it speaks on how serious she took her job. Now, she wasn't just going to let somebody walk out with serious merchandise like that. So I think it's cool that Dana kind of like rewarded her for that kind of, you know, character and that work ethic. So I it's so heartwarming to hear that because somebody like her definitely deserves to be in a place like that where she gets to work for the best MMA organization in the world. So, yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to see if they do more with her than just like her being a security guard. Like she already said, like her, what she wants to do is she wants to grow in the company, and that is amazing. Like I hope that she gets that wish.
Yeah.
Andre, some very surprising news this week. I'm gonna put it to you like this, exactly how it's written. Brock. Like, so, you know, I watch wrestling and I'm like knee deep, just like I am in MMA. And when the news came out that like Brock was no longer under contract, it came out like they took his merchandise store off of the shop. And when I heard that, I'm like, wow, like someone like Brock, like, why would they do that? And then, like, they're like, oh, he's no longer on the contract. I'm like, what? Really? Like, the WWE is gonna let him walk? Andre, do you feel anything towards this? Because I want to say he's like 46 or something. Like he is up there.
I thought he was like 43, I think Dana said. I don't
Even
know,
that
man.
is like he's
Yeah.
older, right? Like,
Yeah, I mean, listen. If you're asking me, right? Hey, Andre, would you get in the cage for $20 million to get just demolished by John Jones for about, what, 3 rounds, 5 rounds? I think we all know my answer. So, if it comes down to that, yeah, I think there's something there, you know. Even though he's 43, he's still a beast of a man, and I think that, you know, a lot of people really can't turn down a fight like that, you know, especially when the financial implications that come with it are almost hard to turn down. You can't even say no to it. So we'll see, man. Am I excited for it? No. We're talking about a 43-year-old Brock Lesnar who's lost a significant amount of his muscle mass, and he is obviously not at the same place he was like 5 years ago. So, yeah, I'm not too sure. I think that John Jones probably gonna beat him up pretty badly. You know, he's gonna be a solid 230. Probably gonna have a lot more muscle. He's gonna be faster. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't think I want to see. We can leave the Brock talk alone for a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a very odd situation, Andre, because with Brock, right? There's obviously a drawing aspect to having him there. But just like Conor McGregor, it's like, why would you do it now when you can't get a live gate? Like, what's the point of me putting him on pay-per-view if I can't have an arena filled with ravaged fans, you know?
People who want to see Brock fight, you know, that's kind of the problem. And obviously, that's why we haven't seen some people come back into the Octagon, because there's no pay-per-view percentage, really. Like, you're not going to make money from the gate. So it's literally all based off of who's going to stream the actual thing, like the actual pay-per-view event. And when you're doing the regular events that aren't pay-per-view, it's free. And there's still no audience. So it's a risk for a lot of these fighters, but most of them are taking it because, you know, they're not in the position of some fighters that are already making millions, you know? But at the end of the day, when you have a fight like a spectacle, I'll say like that, yeah, you need a big arena full of fans. But yeah, I think that with the situation in the world right now, I don't think that's going to be back for a long time. I mean, I just heard that there was a, you know, like the art and entertainment industry just opening up this week, and figuring out a way to follow CDC guidelines, but still being able to have people come in and watch the show. So until the UFC figures that out, I don't think we're going to be seeing any big spectacles. I expect a lot more title defenses for the rest of this year, which is a good thing, I would say.
Yeah, 100%. We've talked about it before. Like, the best part about this is the fighters that want to be busy. Guess what? They're busy as hell. Like, we're gonna talk about some names in a little bit. That it's like, yo, this is like his third fight, you know, this year, and he still has time to get another one in if he wanted to. So, I am looking forward to that, Andre. I'd be totally remiss. I showed you this, right? The UFC Series 1. Let's talk about one more figure that's sort of MMA related that I think you would pop for that I got this week. So,
Oh, yeah. Oh, is that? Yep. Yes, it is. That is sick, dude.
this is Andre's reacting to me showing him Matt Riddle's first ever WWE Elite figure. This thing, dude.
That, it looks really good. That's very detailed. Is that a crown on his head or a
a
headband?
headband,
Ah,
and then
okay.
peep, flip flops.
Yo, my man, the flip-flops.
So fun.
That's meta right there.
This is fantastic. This might be like, this is going on the list, maybe one of my favorite figures this year.
Oh yeah. I mean, hey, if you can wrestle barefoot like he does, like that's crazy, man.
Yeah, so Andre, I got to say a lot celebrating our fan base last week. And I listened back and I was like, damn, I didn't even really give Andre a chance to like thank the people. So Andre, we're gonna go into our t-shirt giveaway, but before we run the randomizer, I would really like to take this second to give you some time to like express how you feel about finally hitting 5,000 downloads and how like thanking the fans.
It's been a pretty long journey so far. We've had our ups and downs, but this has been worth it for me, big time. There's not a lot of things that I can say that I'm really proud of in my life, but Your Boy Elroy's podcast is one thing I'm definitely proud of, and I'm so appreciative of all the support we have received. And it's just been crazy. I didn't think we'd be here. 5,000 downloads might not be a lot to some people, but it's a huge deal for me because that means 5,000, times this was downloaded and people enjoyed it, hopefully. We got our names out there and we got our voices to be heard. And I think that's so awesome, man. So thank you, everyone. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I didn't come on here to be Joe Rogan. I wasn't trying to garner like this huge fan base. I just wanted to come here and like talk about something I love with like people who appreciate the art and are damn good at talking about it. And that's exactly what we did when we came together. Like, we talk every week about something that, has its ups and downs in the media, but for us is a constant and something that, in all honesty, if you want to get a little deep, like, can bring someone like you and me peace. Like we could go a whole week having, like, for, I'm gonna curse. We could go a whole week having a shitty week and then know that, damn, Sunday or Saturday, I got a fire card coming up. Or even if it's a crappy card, like, yo, this might be a banger. Like, I'm definitely gonna watch that fight on Saturday. So I am grateful for that. All right, Andre, so here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna hit the randomizer 10 times. We have 24 entries. All right, Andre. So I'm
All
gonna
right.
hit the randomizer 10 times. And on that 10th click, I'm gonna text you the name, and you're gonna say the winner of our giveaway. The winner will receive any item from our t-shirt store on Teespring. Okay?
All right.
So I have 24 names. Some names are on here twice because I did do a Facebook post and I also did an Instagram post. So some people liked on Instagram and on Facebook. Therefore, they have a better chance of winning. So here we go. Click number one. Two. Click number four. Click number five. Click number six. Click number seven. Click number eight. Andre, that unlucky click number nine. Oh, here goes click number 10. I'm gonna text you this name, Andre.
All right. So, our winner is Anthony Gana.
Anthony, a old coworker of mine. Congratulations, Anthony. I will be getting in touch with you for your free item. Anything. Could be a hoodie, could be a t-shirt, whatever you want, brother. You got it. Thank you so much for supporting us on this journey.
Congratulations, Anthony.
Yeah, I would like to do more of those. I
Yeah,
actually
we should.
I like the
That'd be cool.
idea of that. Andre, we did have a UFC card this past weekend. And in all honesty, Andre, I want to get your thoughts on this because I do believe that we are an MMA podcast. We should keep up with as much as possible, right?
Yes, sir.
But sometimes, Andre, don't you just feel like, why do I have to watch this fight? So,
Yep.
last weekend, Andre, when I said that Sean Brady was the main event, Sean Brady was my main event. Like, once I watched the Sean Brady fight, I could have turned off the card and been totally fine. Don't get me wrong, I made it to the co-main event and I was like, all right, I don't need to watch the main event. But Andre, let's get into it. Damn, if you just like look at the first four fights in the prelims, they all four ended in submission. So first we had Mallory Martin submitting Hannah Cyphers. We had Pollyanna Viana submitting Emily Whitmire. And Andre, in the welterweight division, in the second round, Sean Brady submitting Christian Aguilar. Andre, I want to get your thoughts on this fight because I was so hype. It was like, what time was it? It was like 6:30, I believe, in the evening. It was really early when this card started. And I turned it on. It was still daylight. And I was hype. Hype as hell.
Me too, man. I unfortunately missed it. I forgot what I was doing. I was doing something. But I missed most of it. And then I got to catch it. And damn, man. Like, the check left hook was clean. Jab was solid. The leg kicks were powerful. Inside and outside. And most of all, I mean, Sean Brady's takedowns were incredible. I mean, the guy just... he manhandled Christian Aguilar, and he showed him why people say that he's a legit elite grappler, and he is. It was a very violent guillotine choke. I mean, holy crap. It was crazy. And what was better about it was the fact that Aguilar knew how to get out of it. He was trying to do his best to get out. He was doing everything he could to defend the guillotine, and he just couldn't. Sean Brady was just too strong. His grip strength is incredible, and his choking ability is just out of this world, man. Like, that was insane. And, yeah, that was an excellent performance. And it's funny because last week I had said Sean needs a finish, he needs a submission, or he needs a knockout, but I'm going more towards a submission, and he literally got it. And I think it was the same round I said. So, yeah, I thought it was great, man. Wow, I'm happy for him because that definitely raises his ceiling and allows him to start getting into those bigger fights, those bigger names that are going to mean something in the future. So I'm really, really happy for him. Congratulations, Sean, even if you don't hear this. But yeah, man, what a solid performance.
Dude, I was over the moon. There's something about... like that local hero that I feel like Sean Brady could be. Like, yes, he is very intense. He's a very serious dude, but there was something about his post-fight interview that it felt so genuine.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know. I think it had to do with like Paul Felder being like the person interviewing him. Dude, I got like weird goosebumps talking about it because like I could only imagine those guys, the wars that they've been through together in the gym.
Yep.
So like have that moment, prelims or not, third fight of the night or not, you know, Sean Brady, I could only imagine how he felt getting his first finish and getting to talk with his like training partner and teammate, you know, about that. So, Sean Brady, like Andre said, congratulations. Thank you so much for representing our city as it should be with class. And you are that killer that this city needs.
I mean, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. But before we get to the next segment, man, I got to ask you, who's next?
Wow. Dude, I feel like when I was at fight time, like, after that fight, I thought about it instantly, and I, like, had a name, and it's totally slipping my mind. It's so crazy that, like, when he first got into the UFC, do you remember the first name that I was like, I can't wait to see this fight? Like, Sean Brady and this person?
Was it after his fight or before?
I believe it was after, like, right
after
his fight.
Yeah, I think you were talking about Cowboy Oliveira.
So that was the second person I said, 100%. But the first name, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, Dorino, Gilbert Burns.
Yo, and... I can't wait to see that eventually. But if I'm looking, if the UFC is going to give him, like, top 15 right now, I think there's a lot of veterans in that, like, bottom half. So if I'm looking at the rankings right now, Andre, for the 170 pounds, number 15, Robbie Lawler. Number 14, Anthony Pettis. 13, Nate Diaz. 12, Jeff Neal. 11, Neil Magny. And then number 10, Vicente Luque. Honestly, I love the idea of him fighting Robbie Lawler, but like his Robbie Lawler's kind of is on his last leg. Like, yes, it'd be a big name, former champion, et cetera, et cetera. Andre, I can't even think of anybody outside of the top 15 that I would kind of give him. I mean,
Yeah.
you could put him against like a Mike Perry.
I feel like, honestly, with what's been going on with Mike, even aside from that, even if he had a full camp, Mike doesn't have the skills to beat Sean for 3 rounds. Like, he's gonna take him down, and even if he doesn't submit him, he's just gonna beat him up. Like, Mike is only good when he can land that one big shot. But other than that, he really doesn't have a chance because Sean's way too well-rounded for him. And that's the crazy thing, because right now, like you were saying, outside of the top 15, you can't beat him. Like, it doesn't even matter if you're 6'4 with an 82-inch reach. Like, this guy has fought guys who are like 6'3, and he's beaten them easily, you know, because he's just strong, he's agile, and for his size, he's still very fast and he's incredibly strong. And let's not even talk about the fact that he's incredibly, like, talented and skilled, you know. I think the only fights that I would see that would make sense is most likely Eliazu Gelecki Dos Santos, because I feel like that would be a really good test for him, because he's a good fighter, you know. But other than that, I don't really think there is anybody else. Maybe the second to last guy that Zalecki fought, he's a Russian gentleman. But I'm not too sure. But yeah, I mean, that's really the only fight, man. I think that would be an exciting fight for both guys. Zalecki had just lost a split to Muslim Salikov, and I was talking about Alexei Kinchenko. But yeah, other than that, maybe Muslim Salikov? That could be good.
Yeah, I mean, even I'm looking at Zaleski's like recent fights as well. I mean, you could do J Li Jingliang, but again, like not big enough name. You could do the winner. I like this idea, okay? Just so he did get hurt. You could do the winner of Miguel Baeza and Mickey Gall. Put them against Sean Brady. Let Sean Brady beat one of them, and then put Sean Brady in a top 15 bout. But here's the issue. I think that Miguel Baeza will beat Mickey Gall, and you know how I feel about two prospects, for lack of a better term, killing each other off.
Well, I will say this. Now that I've remembered his name, there is one fight that I think would make a lot of sense. And I'm just going to show you him on the phone.
Hell yeah. I just saw his name too, and I'm like, of
That
course.
would be a banger. You're talking about 3 rounds of a war. And yeah, listen, Lyman Good has improved a lot since his days on the Ultimate Fighter and in Bellator. He's a very solid competitor now. He lost his last fight to Bilal, but it was close. And Bilal did what he had to do, but I think that would be a perfect fight for him. He gets to fight a fellow prospect who's undefeated and who's won. He's 3-0, his last fight being a finish. So, yeah, that's a good fight for him. In my opinion, I think that would be the fight to make outside of Eliazu Gelecki Dos Santos. But yeah.
I mean, there's no shortage of good fights for him, inside and outside of the top 10. Like, we just named like five different, or top 15. We named like five different people that he can face, and we'd be pretty confident with him going into those fights. Like, it's not that I'm not confident in him facing these, like weathered fighters and more seasoned vets. I actually think that works in his. He's just too fast, he's too strong, and way too skilled for these guys, I think, at this point in the game.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is that why rush with all that's been going on, right? If we look at the fights that were announced or about to be announced, Gilbert Burns versus Kamaru Usman is about to be announced officially, and they're probably going to do a promo at some point. We know that Colby Covington's fighting Tyron Woodley. Neil Magny just beat Robbie Lawler, which is going to definitely break him into the top 8
We're going to talk
pretty
about
soon.
it, but Neil Magny just beat the shit out of Robbie Lawler.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it makes sense, too. I mean, the guy is definitely getting better. And at the end of the day, man, like, welterweight, that division itself is very talent-rich. There's a lot of, you know, heavy hitters, a lot of good specialists. And most of all, it's just full of just killers. So Sean has the opportunity to prove himself every single fight. But with his last performance, he's definitely showed that he, but not only does he belong in the UFC, but he's a problem for everybody. I mean, listen, I give it maybe two more fights and he'll be top 10 for sure. And they better watch out, man, because Sean's got the skills to take anybody out. And now that last fight just really gave him the opportunity to show just how dangerous he is.
Yeah, he's fantastic. And like I said, it was more than just the fight. It was the post fight. It was seeing like someone so like I said, he's just very intense. Like when I met him at Marshall's, like like there was a glow in his eye for somebody recognizing him and like kind of like freak, like I low key like was like, "Oh, Sean Brady. Hey, I hate to ask, but can I please?" And he was like totally cool about it. But like during that post fight interview, like him getting to talk to Paul about it and him saying like he wants a big name, like he's not someone to call somebody out. But him saying like, "Yo, I just want a big name," like it's perfect. Like I cannot wait till he gets back in that cage. So let's keep it moving because we could probably do another 20 minutes on Sean Brady alone. The next fight was, I was very happy and sad at the same time. I was happy because this guy did get to show out, Alex Caceres submitting Austin Springer. Unfortunate for Austin Springer, no, he was like the third choice opponent, like very late replacement against Alex Caceres. But Andre, I was very sad.
Yeah.
Because I mean, Bruce Leroy does not have the afro anymore.
Yeah. It was crazy seeing that. I'm like, oh my God, he comes there. Solid win, though. Three in a row, man. I'm not saying he's going to get top 10. No. But, you know, when you put on a good run, man, like that definitely opens a lot of people's eyes. And you have to remember, he's so young. And he has so much time to get better. It's only a matter of time before, you know, he gets that one big opportunity. Kind of like when he beat Sergio Pettis. I mean, that was pretty nuts. But yeah, man.
Yeah, I'm real curious why he cut his hair. Like, that was such a, like, defining feature of his.
Yeah.
But hey, you can't live that life all the time. The next fight, we had Zach Cummings defeating Alessio DiChirico, whatever the hell.
DiChirico, I think.
DiChirico, yeah. Zach Cummings looked really good in that fight. And then in the featured prelim, this was a banger. Maki Patolo versus Impa Kasanganai. Well, both of these guys are a product of the Contender Series. Impa being like 3 weeks off or something like that from a fight. Coming in and defeating someone very tough like Maki Patolo. Andre, what did Impa show you in this fight?
He definitely showed me that he belongs in the UFC. And the other thing he showed me was that he is going to be stepping into, you know, tough fights, you know, a lot more often because he definitely can handle it. Yeah, he looked great, man. The volume was good. Energy was good. And he was violent in there. So that's always good to see. He's got great size for the division. And he's going to be like hopefully a serious contender within the next year or two. I'm definitely rooting for him, man. Maki Patolo did his best, you know, and he showed how tough he was. But hey, Impa's there to stay, man. I can't wait to see what his next fight's going to be.
Yeah, then we move to the main card, Andre. And right off the back, probably, you know, we love Sean Brady. He did get performance of the night. But this was a no-brainer. Fight of the night, Ricardo Lamas versus Bill Algeo. Andre, what a banger this was.
Yeah, man. That was crazy. I love the post-fight like speech from Ricardo too, man. That was so heartwarming. I hopefully, you know, it sucks to hear guys talk about retirement and stepping away, but I was always a big fan of Ricardo Lamas. Like in the UFC, he kind of came out of nowhere. Like he was just putting on excellent performances, and the biggest one being against Cub Swanson, you know? Cub, what they were talking him up, like, oh, Cub is a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and this and that, and he was like going for this weird guillotine from full guard, and people were like, what is he doing? And made a huge mistake and got caught in an arm triangle choke, and that's when people were like, yo, Ricardo is the real deal, you know? And for his whole career, he's always been fighting the best. I mean, Chad Mendes, I mean, he's fought Jose Aldo, I mean, Cub Swanson, another name. Like, he's fought everybody and has always been at the top of the game. So, I have a lot of respect for that guy. And, you know, shout out to Bill Algeo for getting in there with a tough veteran like Ricardo Lamas. You know, not a lot of people would have done that.
Yeah, so then this is where I fell off at the night, Andre. We had Alexa Grasso versus. Whew, can you help me here? G. Ji Yan Kim.
Yeah,
Ji
I think that's
Yan
it.
Kim. Alexa Grasso defeating her. Andre, I'm not going to lie, I didn't even pay attention to this fight, but if I look at the raw numbers, it looked like this fight was extremely close.
It was, but I'll tell you one thing. Alexa was landing much more harder shots. I mean, she was hitting her with everything but the kitchen sink. And, you know, they were just going back and forth, you know. But Grasso just had the speed advantage and the takedowns. She put it all together really well. She's very well rounded, and she's definitely going to be a staple in that division. And it's crazy now because not only her, but Cynthia Calvillo are definitely shaking it up at 125. I wonder how many girls are going to probably think about moving up as well with that recent performance, because it seems like a lot of the girls at 115 are like, eh, weight cut's not worth it. I'll probably just move up.
Yeah, I know it always feels weird talking about women and weight, but you know, the older you get, like the harder it is to kind of cut that weight. And for these women, as they get older, you know, they might want to think about moving up. You know, you can't, like 115 pounds is like tiny, bro.
That's not an easy cut, man. I mean, it's weird that people can make it down there, but that's why they don't have a men's division for that, because you'd have to be a very tiny human to be walking around at 115 as a full-grown male, you know? Like, you don't really see it a lot. But yeah, I mean, great performance. She'll be right in the mix pretty soon. Yeah, we'll see what happens with that division. Still waiting for, you know, Valentina to defend her title, and hopefully the return of Macy Barber pretty soon. We'll see.
Yeah, we got Valentina later on this year, and then yeah, like you said, Macy Barber, she did sustain like a pretty bad injury, so all the best to her and her recovery. Then the co-main event, I already stated it. Neil Magny just like, damn, he looks good. He just beat the crap out of Robbie Lawler for 3 rounds.
Yeah, no joke, man. Neil Magny is there. I mean, he's a tough guy to fight. 6'3", 80-inch reach with really good grappling, and you know, his striking is getting there, you know. And the thing that I'm noticing a lot is that he's starting to master the art of distance management. And eventually, once he gets to the level that he's supposed to be in title contention, I mean, this dude's gonna be a serious issue. I mean, it's not easy fighting a guy who's 6'3", who can grapple like that. And his pressure, like, not only just on the cage, but on top is good, you know? So he's just one of those guys. He's got a good gas tank, good size. I mean, he's got that championship caliber, like, frame. So we'll see, man. I'm rooting for him.
Yeah, let's see if he can make that late run. I mean, let's be honest, Jorge did it. Why can't Neil Magny do it?
Yep, I mean, it may not be as violent, but you got to get the job done. I mean, look at Kamaru Usman. His performances weren't the best, but he got the job done and he got to the top, you know?
Yeah, I mean, just think about like this 3-fight streak, right? How good was his, remember his boxing against Li Jingliang? And then he goes in and defeats Anthony Rocco Martin in like almost the same fashion. And then he just like beat the crap out of Robbie Lawler. Like I would like remember how surprised we were with what Kobe Covington did against Robbie Lawler? Like I kinda had like a bit of that same feeling, like, damn, Robbie, like it might be time to wrap it up.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks to see too, because you remember, like, a couple years ago, wasn't that long ago, Robbie was the king of the welterweight division, and everybody he fought had to unfortunately meet the fifth round Lawler, where he just went berserk on you. And, you know, he just doesn't have that anymore, in my opinion. But hey, Robbie's a legend in the sport, man. He's been fighting since, wow, a long time. And, yeah, I mean, if it's time to hang it up, I mean, he was welterweight champion. He defended his belt against some of the best in the world, Carlos Condit. He defended his belt against, you know, freaking Rory McDonald in his prime. And he finished him, which is even crazier to think because that fight was, it was insane, you know. But
I know that's probably on your list for, like, one of the greatest fights of all time.
Oh, yeah, I mean, listen, Robbie was at his best. And Rory was at his best. Unfortunately, Rory's nose just didn't hold up. And that's okay, because he was winning the fight, in my opinion. Robbie had a lot of good, like, instances in that fight. But as far as putting it together, like, Rory was really giving it to Robbie. And it was just like their first fight, razor thin. Like, they were obviously, I wouldn't say evenly matched, but at the end of the day, like, damn, man. Like, he really put it on him, and I was so happy to see it. But, yeah, man, you got to give credit to Neil Magny because he's now on a 3-fight winning streak, and he's really getting in there and doing what he has to do to win. And I think that maybe a big fight with maybe Michael Chiesa or someone like that. I wouldn't say Jeff Neal because I think they had that fight scheduled. No, they didn't have that fight scheduled. I think Jeff had... What was his next fight? I'm, like, drawing a blank here.
Jeff had a fight, and he has, like, this mystery, like, illness that he had to be pulled, I believe. So Jeff Neal got pulled from a fight with... Let's see. Yeah, he was supposed to fight Neil Magny.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I figured, yeah. And that would have been a good fight. But, hey, listen, whoever he fights, he's getting there, man. He's getting real close, so.
Yeah, that's so crazy. I had to pull up his Wikipedia. And you know the joke about, like, him working at Texas Roadhouse for so long. And he had left after the Mike Perry fight. Because, obviously, you know, he probably had a performance bonus. He probably made, like, a decent amount of money. But this year, he had to go back in June. Because he didn't get a time to get a fight scheduled. So that's so crazy to me.
Yeah, it is, man. But it happens.
Yeah, it definitely does. Andre, like I said, I did not watch this main event. But I did see a headline that Anthony Smith said that Rackets just felt like he was in another weight class. So Andre, in all honesty, did it look like that in the cage?
Yeah, I mean, even at the weigh-ins, the freaking bastard looked like a heavyweight. He looked like Brock Lesnar compared to Anthony Smith. That's insane, you know? But, hey, I mean, that's the name of the game, man. Like, I said it before, like, 1,000 times on this, you know, the game's evolving. Guys are getting stronger, they're getting faster, more athletic, more skilled. They're able to learn faster than a lot of other guys. They have access to some of the best strength and conditioning coaches in the world, some of the best minds in the game, you know. And listen, Rakic is the real deal, man. Like, this guy is a freaking tank, and he's really skilled in kickboxing. It's only a matter of time, you know, and he's right there now. Listen, we're going to have Thiago Moreto Santos fight Glover Teixeira, and then we're going to have Dominic Reyes versus Jan Blachowicz for the light heavyweight title, the vacant light heavyweight title. I mean, damn. And with Corey Anderson out of the picture, Johnny Walker kind of in a small skid right now, he's right there. He could easily fight the winner of Thiago Santos versus Glover, Or if they want to take a chance, they can give him the winner of Dom versus Jan. Either way, this guy is dangerous. And yeah, let's see. I mean, I really thought Anthony Smith was going to go in there and like have a good performance, but that was not the case. He was completely nullified. And those leg kicks, dude, those leg kicks were ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah, like I feel bad for not watching it because like I pride myself on like trying to watch everything I can. But
Yeah.
there's just some days where you're like, bro, I can't even stay up. Like I gotta go to bed.
I feel you, man. I honestly think I watched like maybe the first three rounds, and that was about it for me. I think I had seen enough. I knew where the fight was going, and I knew that Anthony Smith wasn't just gonna have this crazy come from behind knockout of Rakic because that's not happening. I mean, they were talking about how they were the same height, and yeah, I don't know who billed Rakic at 6'4", but that man's at least 6'6". And he probably the night of the fight, he was probably a solid 240 pounds there, all muscle. I mean, Jesus, man. You don't see them built like that every day.
Hell no. So, Andre, this weekend, don't worry. You got six fights to get through. So, let's run through this card really quickly. Wow. So, I'm just going to give you the notable names. Actually, because, Andre, some of these names, I'm like, who? So, on the prelims, there, the notable fight there. At women's flyweight, Viviana Araújo versus Montella Della Rosa. And then we move up to the main card in the women's bantamweight division. Sabrina Eubanks actually had a late replacement, so the person on here is not correct. She's actually going to be fighting Julia Avila. So,
Huh?
yep.
Nico Montano's out?
No, Carol Rosa is out. Nico Montano fell out, I think, a few weeks ago.
Oh, God, I forgot. That's crazy. That is crazy.
Dude, Julia Avila.
She's getting that's a big step up right there.
That's a. Weren't we just like gushing over her a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean,
She's the one with the white streak right in her hair. Oh,
yeah.
yeah.
She's solid, man. She's got good skills and she's very ferocious, so we'll see, but Sajara Eubanks is not a pushover, man. Like Sajara, solid striking, good jiu-jitsu. So we'll see what happens in this fight. I don't want to sit here and say it's a huge step up in competition, but it's definitely a big step up in competition given like where Julia Avila is in her career now. But hey, either way, it's going to be a good fight. I'll definitely be tuning into that one.
Yeah, Julia Avila looking to go 3-0 in her mixed martial arts career. Crazy. Then in the co-main event, we have OSP versus Alonzo Menafield. And then in the main event, is this like. I believe Augusto Sakai is. He comes from the Contender Series. Is this the biggest, like. Show, like, is this the biggest. Like Contender Series fight, like he's in a main event against Alistair Overeem. Like, is that the first time a Contender Series guy is main eventing?
I think so. And, hey, good luck, man. Listen, Augusto has pretty good punching power, but if you see Alistair Overeem's body of work in the UFC, if you don't have that lights out, I'll send your ass to the Shadow Realm kind of power, Overeem's going to be right there. And it's only a matter of time before he starts landing knees and elbows in the clinch. Or if he takes you down and gets on top. Like, I think a lot of times people kind of crap on Alistair, and I know that I was one of them because unfortunately, Ngannou and Rozenstruik. But listen, Alistair is a different kind of animal. Like when he's in there to kill and he knows that he can beat you, like, yeah, it's rough. I don't see many guys that are gonna be going three rounds with Alistair. 'Cause and now it's five rounds. So this kid's never main evented, and he's got to fight one of the toughest veterans in the UFC. and one of the best fighters in the UFC, in my opinion, because, you know, Alistair dropped Stipe with one punch, and he looked like Stipe was out for a second there. Like, this guy has beaten some of the best in the heavyweight division, and, yeah, we'll see. What do you think about his whole one more run talk?
I mean, who did he fight last? I believe his last
Walt
fight,
Harris.
He looked fantastic in his last fight against Walt Harris. Walt Harris just, like, gassing out, and Alistair just taking advantage of that. But I don't know if he has it. Like, there's so much going on. I mean, don't get me wrong. He was beating the crap out of Rozenstruik before Rozenstruik landed that shot. And then let's just look at the rankings, because that always tells a story for us. As much as everybody else hates the rankings, I like to look at it because, like, some of these things you look and you're like, oh, no way. So I guess you could do Alistair versus Derek Lewis, you know, but Derek Lewis is going to face Curtis Blaydes.
I'm going to tell you like this. There's, like, four gatekeepers up there. How do you have, like, three to four gatekeepers in one division? Like, Curtis Blaydes can't get a title fight to save his life. And Ngannou just got one after Daniel Cormier, unfortunately, you know, took himself out of the picture. And, you know, Stipe's at the top of the heap again, even though he already was, but he was able to defend his belt. It's a weird situation, you know? And right now, aside from Overeem, the only guys that are really right there are Greg Hardy, Surreal Gain, Augusto Sakai, and Jarzinho. So, yeah, this will be
it's
interesting.
A very weathered heavyweight division. Hence why, Andre, I look at these rankings and I'm like, damn, I might be looking forward to a Jon Jones finally joining this division and bringing, like, new life, new matchups. Like,
yeah, I mean, right now, I hate to say it, man, but, like, I don't know if we touched on this, but the Ultimate Fighter needs to come back, and there needs to be more heavyweights and more female featherweights. There has to be. And if they can sneak a third one in there, more, like, male flyweights and more female flyweights. Like, we need those divisions to be stacked by 2021. And heavyweight needs, like, you know, new talent in there. I'm not going to sit here and say Greg Hardy's, like, in the top, you know, 10, but, you know, the guy's going to keep evolving, and maybe his name
yeah,
will be
Andre,
in the mix soon.
I don't know
soon,
why,
so,
but
yeah.
This fight was not listed on our rundown sheet, but Michelle Pajeda is fighting this night as well. So maybe that's something to look forward to. You get Michelle Pajeda jumping in and, you know, flipping around all over the place. It is the last fight on his deal, so let's see if he does anything good. Andre, some late breaking news I want to talk about right before we get off of here. Cody Garbrandt tests positive for COVID-19. Now, it doesn't look like it's going to get in the way of his fight. Obviously, his fight isn't till November, but damn, that's got to suck.
I'm going to tell you right now, man. He's not making weight. He's not making weight.
All right.
I don't know. I don't think he's going to do it.
that you called that, and come that fight night, I'm probably going to owe you 20 bucks.
Yeah, I'm just going to say it now. Davison's going to look just ghastly dead, and Garbrandt's probably going to come in at like 127.5. I'm going to say it right now on air. People are going to be like, what the hell are you talking about? Of course he's going to make weight. I bet you any amount of money that's going to be a big problem for him. And I don't blame him. Getting COVID is horrible. I wouldn't wish that on anybody, but yeah, I'm calling it right now.
Well, I wish him the best. I hope that he feels better. Hopefully he's asymptomatic and he doesn't have to deal with the shortness of breath, loss of smell, and all the other terrible things that happen to you when you have COVID-19. Damn, Andre, like, I feel terrible, but like, they didn't list a lot of these fights. There's, I guess, one or two fights that we probably missed that we should talk about. So we already said Michelle Pajeda is on the fight, on the card. He's third from the top, so they love that guy. I don't see them letting him go anytime soon. Brian Kelleher is on this card, as well as Jalen Turner versus Thiago Moses. So a little more than six fights, but not that much, Andre. I think that we'll be just fine watching this card this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be great, man. All
right, Andre, so thank you so much. That has been this week's Your Boy Elroy. Please do me a favor. Actually, Andre, thank you so much for allowing me to post on our feed early this morning. I had an interview with a local sports card collector. I'm going to call that series YBE Off the Cuff, where I just, you know, whenever I want to talk to somebody, I'll just toss up that name off the cuff, like, and I'm looking forward to doing more of those, because as I become more of like a hobbyist, it's interesting to find out what people think, like, because me, I'm just excited for everything, and these people kind of bring me down to earth.
Yeah,
so
man.
Andre,
that's
any
awesome.
Streams this weekend?
Probably not tomorrow. Definitely Monday. I'll probably try to squeeze one in on Saturday. I got a family event tomorrow. But yeah, I'm definitely going to be streaming. Once I get my PS4 camera, I'm definitely going to be streaming
every
day.
That has been this week's Your Boy Elroy. I'm Josh Prepagini. You can find me on all forms of social media. Elroy Preps in one word. Andre?
Everyone, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Twitch under the name Flow Stay Dre. And you can also find me as my regular name on Facebook, Andre Rodriguez. Thank you for all your support, and thank you for tuning in for another great
Anthony
episode.
Yes, also, congratulations. Thank you to everyone who entered. If it's your birthday, happy birthday. Enjoy the fights this weekend, and we'll see you next week.